look at them. They came from Tulsa, Oklahoma. People think Tulsa's spiritual because we've got ORU there, City of Faith, you know. And it is a spiritual town, you know. And it's got a lot of good people, but we want to come to lift up the name of Jesus. We want you to get excited about what Jesus Christ is doing. How many of you are excited you're saved? How many of you rather be here than the best hospital in town? Let me see your hand. You're excited then. Praise the Lord. We're going to sing a song a little bit on the peppy side and kind of let some of you that enjoy a little bit of the fast music to go ahead and just kind of smile. You're allowed to smile throughout this song. You're allowed to clap your hands along with us. And this song talks about He is the light. When darkness closes around and tries to bring you down, the night has come and you've been left with fear. Turn to the light of the one who's brighter than the sun, then let His light fill your heart and dry your tears. For He's the sun that brightens up your every morning. Oh, He's the light that shines through night or day. Lift up your hands and give all glory to the Savior, and let Him shine His light to show someone the way. The darkest hours of the night will come before sunrise, but soon will fade away the break of dawn. So lift your hands, give all glory to the Savior, and let Him shine His light to show someone the way. Now let His light shine on you, for He is coming soon. The darkness of the night will soon depart, and when that night fades away, comes the dawning of that day. Then let His light shine that love into your heart. For He's the sun that brightens up your every morning. Oh, He's the light that shines through night or day. Lift up your hands and give all glory to the Savior, and let Him shine His light to show someone the way. The darkest hours of the night will come before sunrise, but soon will fade away the break of dawn. So lift your hands and give all glory to the Savior, and let Him shine His light to show someone the way. To show someone the way. Yes, let Him shine His light to show someone the way.
Give the Lord a hand if you believe it. Praise God. Eh? Randy Lynn is going to come and share music with you. Worship Jesus with him. Praise God. I tell you what, this is exciting. You know, a lot of folks, it takes something like that to get them excited. Just like that soap you watch on television, you know, Coast. Kind of gets you going, so sometimes some good music gets you going. Praise the Lord. Randy Lynn, give him a hand as he comes to sharing music right now with you. Praise God.
The angels cannot sing the song that God has given us in our hearts because we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Listen to this song. Their sins away, and though they sing in heaven, there will come a time when silently they listen as I sing Amazing Grace, 'cause it's a song holy angels cannot sing. Amazing Grace,
before the throne of God continually. For me to join their song will be a natural thing, for they just won't know the words to love lifted me. And it's a song holy angels cannot sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Yes, it's a song holy angels cannot sing. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Yeah, I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that Jesus found us that day?
I was sitting here on the platform, and I'm reminiscing some of the things that have happened. You know, the pastor and his wife, we were in camp meeting with them several, it's been about 5 or 6 years ago, and I'll never forget and experience the Lord. That's when I felt the Lord calling me to sing. But, you know, the Lord is so blessing us so much. And I remember that night, Brother Wampler had all the kids. There were so many kids, you know, slain in the Spirit and being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And he had so many of them come forward to tell, you know, what they felt the Lord wanted them to do, so that they would know without a doubt when they left, they knew what they were going to do for God, what God had called them to do. And boy, we had a marvelous camp, and we're going to have some good camps here in Arizona. And the name of this song is titled, I Am Blessed. And truly, we are blessed people today.
When I think about my family and the love that I've received, all the friends God has given unto me, and I look all around me at the good things that I see. Oh, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed.
believe that? Amen. Praise the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I tell you what, you've been blessed. That song was written by a good friend of mine in California. Beautiful meaning. It's on our brand new album we just recorded. I am blessed. Praise the Lord. Well, it's time right now for you to receive a blessing. You have already given of your tithe and your offerings to the ministry of your church. Now it's time to give to the ministries that come bless your church. So we want you to help New Hope Crusades. We're a faith ministry. We strictly operate by faith. And your gifts to this ministry are more than appreciated because of the heavy expenses that we have on the road and different other radio programs and literature distribution and just different facets of our ministry. We want you to participate in that. And what we're doing, and we ask you to give, and the pastor comes to receive an offering for this team, he's asking you to receive a blessing, because when you give, you're opening yourself up for the blessing of the Lord. Everybody that believes that, say amen. And so we're giving you an opportunity to be blessed by investing money into this ministry. So you give as God has blessed you, and I know that you will do your best, and I know that God will tremendously bless you as you help New Hope continue to spread the gospel around the United States.
All right, ushers, if you come. It's been requested that I play the piano for the offertory, but I'm not going to do it. Come, Sister Melba. Now, she's the only one that requested that I do it, and that's so she wouldn't have to. Nobody else would do that. Sister Melba, I get to pick on you. Lord bless you today. Amen. Make your offerings to the Sunny Slope Assembly of God Church, and God bless you for giving and responding to this crusade team as they've come to minister. As you know, it takes money to keep the kingdom of God going. We give to all kinds of ministries. We support many various ministries and works, and we might as well contribute this morning to a good cause and to the furtherance of the gospel. So God bless you. Lord, thank you for the people today and their hearts, their vision to give, the burdens of giving. We ask you to bless them now in their faithfulness, and bless Brother Torres and his team as they minister and work for God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your gifts. Now tonight we will be having service at 7 o'clock, and we want you to be here and be a part of the service. The Lord has really been doing some wonderful things in our hearts, and if nothing, just come watch the preacher burn. God's been doing some really super things in our life and setting us towards some great victories, sharing things with us and blessing us, and we trust our ministry has been blessing you. And tonight we'll be preaching and ministering. So be here, 7 o'clock in church tonight. And all this next week, the pastor will be, his family, and along with the youth campers, will be in Prescott at the youth camp. So if anything comes up that you might need us, you can reach us at the youth camp site there, and we're always available. This is our ministry first. The Lord has opened the door for us to minister at camp this week. Teaching, so you pray for us and include us in your prayers. And but if anything comes up where we can be a ministry to you, we can be reached at the youth camp site, Prescott Youth Camp, Assemblies of God there. Brother Torres.
Praise the Lord. I tell you what, we enjoy coming back to Phoenix. Want to tell you, on your way, when you slip out to go home this afternoon. Now, we'll not be in a hurry. How many of you are in a hurry this morning? Anybody in a hurry? Okay, good. We'll not try to beat the Baptist to the cafeteria. And so we'll just have a little bit of church here. I want to tell you that we have albums in the back, and they'll be a tremendous blessing to you. So slip to the back and pick up these albums. This is our brand new album called Born to Praise. And the songs that you heard this morning are on this album. And then Randy Lynn has got a brand new album called Praising His Name. And then on top of that, we have our first albums in the back that were about a year and a half old. And so the team's got two trio albums. Randy's got two solo albums. So you get them. We have them in 8-tracks and in cassettes, and they'll be a blessing to you. So slip back there and get an album. Pick up an album. It'll be a blessing to you. And then we didn't bring all of our tapes. We did bring in several sets of these tapes because we feel that they're tremendous. Not because I preached them, simply because the Lord has anointed his word, and these tapes have touched literally thousands of people. Satan's Frauds, Rebellion, God is for You, and Seven Weapons Against Satan. I just got through teaching a series on Seven Weapons Against Satan on the radio program, and then this is the message that is inspired by the Lord, and I know that it'll be a tremendous blessing to you. So go back there and pick up a copy of this, okay? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalm, chapter 27, please. The book of Psalm, chapter 27. That is in the Old Testament, the book of Psalm. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 1, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to destroy my flesh, they stumble and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies. Round about me, therefore, will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. One of the most fascinating things about the Bible that I have learned in studying the Bible is that God not only has got enough scripture to keep his children busy reading it, but he has got enough power to keep us victorious. Can you say praise the Lord? A lot of people thought the day you got saved that, man, you were going to have a heaven on earth. I mean, it was going to be smooth sailing all the way. But do you realize the moment you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you got involved in a combat, in a war? I mean, you became an enemy of Satan. But yet when we begin to think about the things that have come against the believer, we have to refer to Psalm 27. And the Lord is my light, and the Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He said that he hides me. He hides me in his pavilion. He hides me in his pavilion. In other words, God is taking care of his children. There is no reason for us to submit to fear, submit to intimidation. Remember how God spoke to Moses? Moses fell intimidated by the leadership of Pharaoh. And God said, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses felt so intimidated, he says, God, I can't go over there. Why, I'm just a man. And furthermore, Lord, I stutter. And God said, Moses, what have you got in your hand? Moses said, it's a rod. God said, throw it on the ground. So he threw the rod on the ground, and the rod turned into a snake. And the Bible said that Moses, you know, he kind of just jumped back from that thing and fled from it. And God said, Moses, pick it up. Pick it up. And you know, a lot of times God is trying to get us to drop the rod because somehow in our Christian walk, the snake has wiggled his way into our life. And God is wanting you to drop the rod, and he's wanting to take the snake out. And he's wanting to hide you in the protection of his care. I want to tell you how God takes care of his people. I boarded an airplane the other day. I was going to Denver, Colorado for a few nights speaking engagement. And I got on the airplane, and when every time I board an airplane, I have the sensation, Father, now you take care of this airplane. Let any mechanical problem or failure that may be in it, let them see it right now before we take off, because surely they can't pull over to the side of the rest stop and fix it when they get up there, you know? And so we started going down the runway in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we started going, flying. You know, we was going to Wichita and then pick up some people and then go on to Denver. And when the plane just lifted a little bit off, it came back down. And the pilot came out and he said, well, we have some engine failure. And I said, praise God, they found that we were still on the ground. You know, and they flicked the indicator and they said, it's not a light bulb, there's something in the engine. So we finally got taxi back over there, and what was happening, they had an oil filter in the engine that was all clogged up and it wasn't getting any oil through it. And that engine would have burned up just like that, just, you know, just a matter of moments, and we'd have been on two engines. So the Lord not only, and I believe one of the reasons that those things are find out and those things show up, I believe God's got choice people that he blesses. The enemy has no blessing, friend. He has been cursed from the very day that he was born. Man was born with a curse. He was born with the curse of Adam. Then when we are redeemed, we become of the seed of Abraham. We become sons of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we are held esteem in the eyes of God. You can say whatever you want to, but friend, I got news for you. The good crowd is the godly crowd. And the reason this world is still together, and the reason God has put in Psalm 27, he takes care of his people, is simply because he made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with a man in the very beginning, said, I will bless your seed, and then they'll come after you. Say amen if you believe that. And brother, I'm not only preaching about salvation, I'm telling you a lot of people are forgetting that God is our protector. He is our shelter in the time of storm. He is our healer in time of sickness. He is our joy in time of sorrow and bereavement when the death comes to the family. He is our joy. He is our peace. He is our comfort. A lot of people forget that. They think about the glory and the salvation and the blessing of God. They forget he is our protector. A lot of people go out and they get on vacations. They go on the road and they never even pray. Don't pray about nothing. I'll tell you what, I've learned, friend, that we need protection. We've got a lot of crazy people out there. I said, you got a lot of crazy people out there. Brother, we need protection. We need divine protection. God has told us that he would protect us. He would keep us. Psalm 91 said, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. God is your protector. God is your pavilion. God is your shelter. But you know how you get that protection? You get that protection by getting into his word. We have got a lot of people that are so used to the hearsay of the preacher on the radio, the hearsay of the preacher on the television. Thank God for radio and television ministries. But friends, there are churches around the United States of America that are literally dying spiritually because they have no personal involvement in the word themselves. They're living on a hearsay and past Pentecostal blessings. You know, the thing that is going to stir up Satan's nest is when we begin to personally get involved in the word and personally begin to tell people that Jesus is alive and well. Our fancy remodeling our churches will never get people into the church. Our fancy carpets and our music will never get people into the church. The thing that gets people into the church is when the reality and the power and the anointing of the name of Jesus is heralded behind the pulpit. And not only that, but we're going to have to practice it. Oh, you're saying that preacher's kind of hard. Yeah, I'm just here one night. I'm going to hit you and run. Already got the offering. Enjoy it. Praise God. We're living in such a world that, man, people get up and they just want to be sermonized. Sermonized. And most people that get sermonized go to sleep. We need something that will really get down and tell us, listen, friend, God's on your side. God's on your side. Let the enemy come. Let the floods come. Let the storm come. God's on our side. I stand saying, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Why? Because I'm a son of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Give Jesus a big hand if you believe that. Praise God. I read this thing and it thrilled me, man. It thrilled me. He said, though the host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I desire of the Lord, that I shall seek after him and that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I read about the protection I've got. I can walk in any area of life, friend, and I know that I've got one closer to me than anybody in the world, the Father, the Heavenly Father. I think of the man that got on the airplane, the 747 jumbo jet, and was going to the Canary Islands, the man that went to the Evangel College in Springfield, Missouri. And he went in there and he had been taught to see. Listen, it's important that what you learn from the Word of God, you not only attain it, but you maintain it. We got a lot of people that know how to attain things, but don't know how to maintain things. You ever see a lady? She'll attain a car, but she don't know how to take care of it. Hello. And the hubby's always got to come out and change the tires and change the oil and clean the seat and get the crackers from the kids and just clean the whole thing out. They know how to drive it, but they don't know how to maintain it. Just like a yard, they know how to. I'm telling you, ladies, just smile and take it with grace. I'll get on the men in just a little while. But I mean, you know, we want a nice house, and we want the shrubbery to look good. We want the lawn to look good, but we want the husband to maintain it. Oh, the ladies, some brave ones back there saying amen. I tell you what, but it's, you know, in the same respect, my friend, salvation is the same way. The blessings of God are the same way. We can attain them when we come to Jesus Christ, but you've got to learn to maintain a spiritual temperature that is above any single circumstance in this world. Because if you let your spiritual thermometer get down, then the enemy comes in and he gets you at a point when you're lukewarm. And this man from Evangel College not only had attained salvation when he was young, but he maintained it. He kept a constant study of the Word. He kept a constant communication with God. And he was on this airplane, 747 jumbo jet, I believe it's Kelmon. And they were going to the Canary Islands. And as they were fixing to take off, he said they were just on the runway. They were just taxiing down the runway. He said he felt a jerk on the airplane, and the plane was jerked to the side. What it so happened that he could tell the pilot was trying to get the plane off the runway. There was another 747 on the other side. Maybe you read about this, called Terra Timnariff. 469 people were taken out into eternity in just 2 minutes. He felt the pilot was trying to get the plane off the runway, and finally, what happened was the other pilot of the 747 had taken off without clearance from the tower, and it was real foggy and they couldn't see nothing. And the next thing you knew, that plane was taken off and that 747 was still on the runway. And finally, when the pilot got clear of the fog, he saw the plane right in front of him, and he tried to raise it up, but he had just fueled up with jet fuel and the plane was too heavy, and the landing gear went right down the middle of that 747 that was still on the runway. It took out 469 people out to eternity in about 2 minutes. The man that was on that airplane said he saw people lighting up like human torches. He began to see people burning, and he said they were screaming and cursing, taking the name of God in vain. He said he saw people just light up. He said all of a sudden he began to think of every scripture that his mama had taught him. He began to speak it out. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out all fear. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Yea, my cup runneth over with the blessing of God. He said everybody around him was lighting up like human torches. And he began to quote the psalm. He began to quote the word. And all of a sudden, that pavilion, all of a sudden, that shelter, that rock surrounded him, brother and sister. And there was divine protection for that man. He said there was an Assemblies of God woman on the airplane. And she was coming down the aisle of the airplane. And God definitely spoke to her and said, get out of the way. And she didn't question God. She just jumped. She didn't know whether it was God or somebody else. I know it was God. But she just jumped out of the way. And the minute she did, a big piece of plane came right down the aisle. It killed her. It split her in two. And she began to climb over the seats, and just like a grasshopper, climbing over the seats, and finally escape out of the airplane. The man that was on the airplane that I talk about that was saved and filled with the Spirit, he said he saw a big hole on top of the airplane. And he know, you ever been in a 747? They're very tall. And he said there's no way he can get 250 pounds above that. But he just began to pray, God, I got to get out of this thing. It's going to blow up any second. And the next thing he knew, he said he didn't know how he did it. He just went over that hole and was on the wing, just sliding down. He called that his mini rapture, you know, from the seat up there. Escape that. You know why people are escaping the wrath of the enemy? And though the enemy surrounds the Christian believer, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I don't care what the world is saying, we are a special privileged people. You ever think about that? I said, do you ever think about that? You're a special person in the eyes of God. How many of you would let your son go through a situation if you knew there was danger pending? You would let your son go through that? No, you don't do that. And so the father, though sometimes he cannot stop danger from coming because people bring danger upon themselves, it's just like the Bible said about Job said, the thing I fear the most came upon me, and all that junk came upon him. And then when he repented and said, God forgive me, then God gave him back everything he had, and he trusted God, and the man ended up twice as good at the end as he did in the beginning. You see, we've got, a lot of times we read the story, oh, poor, sad Job just couldn't make it. You ever hear people say, poor old Job just want to be just like him. He just had a hard time, and he is poor. No, he wasn't poor, folks. I said he wasn't poor. A lot of people get the idea, well, if we can pattern ourselves after somebody has been martyred and suffered. Brother, I tell you what, I don't like to go to suffering. I said, I don't like to go through suffering. There's not a person here that wants to go through suffering. But yet sometimes when we open ourselves, see what's happening, my friend, is, let me tell you what it is. God has a pavilion, and it's around us. God has a shield, and it's around us. Now listen to what I'm saying. This is very important. God has a shield, and it's around us. And that shield is our protection. That shield will protect us from evil, from failure, from falling, I believe from sickness, and I believe from poverty. You believe that? Now, I believe there's a shield around the believer. We have, as Brother Zimmerman says, we have double insulation. We are protected by the blood, and we have a shield of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's enough to make a Baptist shout. Come on, say amen. And that's an insulation. We are protected. Now, that protection ceases to exist when we begin to get lukewarm in our walk, when we begin to take the things of God slightly, when we begin to slack off on prayer, slack off on Bible reading, slack off on church attendance, I believe that pavilion kind of drops, and then the enemy can see you, you see. That pavilion begins to drop. Oh, in the natural sense, it's still there, but to you, you don't have the power you once had. Why? There's been a lack of communication between you and the Heavenly Father. And so the enemy sees a room, and he sees a place and a time and an open opportunity where he can get on the inside and throw something on you. And it'll start something like this. You'll watch the television, and all of a sudden the news will come on, and they'll say that there's an epidemic of the flu coming to Phoenix, Arizona. And they said it's coming in about 1 week. And all of a sudden, next week, you're sitting there and you thought about that. And all of a sudden, you begin to run a slight temperature and you begin to cough a little bit. And you go, oh, that must have come in a week early. It's here. I'm going to get it. And you know what you do? You go in the bedroom, you put your pajamas on and jump in bed, and you just open yourself up to it. You could have done two things. You could have just do that, put your pajamas on, jump in bed. Honey, bring me some orange juice and some aspirins. Or you could say, praise the name of Jesus. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no sickness, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And by his stripes I was healed, and I'm going to stay healed by the power of the blood of Jesus. You can do one of two things, friend. You can let the protection work for you, or you could let it drop. And it'll drop if you let it. I mean, it'll let it come right in. You see, friend, God is not going to put anything, on you that you don't want. And if you want it, man, he'll let you have it. Hello? If you want it, he'll let you. If you want to catch a flu, man, God's not going to stop it. But if you say, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to stop this thing from coming my way, you can stop it by your vocabulary. Hello? You can stop it by your vocabulary. You know, almost everything we do with our mouth. When you got married, what did you say, sir? You said, I do, and you done did it. See, And it's just the same thing with the enemy. When he tries to come in and tries to put something on you, you can say, I do accept it or I don't accept it. Hello? Brother, I'm not going to accept some things that the devil's trying to put on. You know, I got to thinking last week in Colorado, I was in a restaurant, and that young man, the one here in Globe is Lopez, former hostage. Is it Lopez? And then the one in Colorado is Gallegos, Billy Gallegos. That's the way that the English people say it. The Anglos say it. Gallegos. It's Gallegos. Anyway, Billy Gallegos was in a restaurant, sitting there. There was a lot of food on the table, and he was drinking. And I happened to see they were just having a little party for him. I mean, you know, them folks have been kept busy ever since they've been back from Iran. But you know something? I got to thinking about that as I sat there. I was with the DCAP there of Colorado. I was in a convention there. And we got to talking. He says, hey, that's Billy Gallegos. I said, oh, yeah. And he got up and we heard him. He was toasting. He said, I'm toasting to freedom and to a good future. You know, he was telling, you know, how free he felt now. And, you know, I just had to say something. You know what I mean? I didn't agree with his toasting alcoholic beverages, you know. But I after I left, I couldn't help but just going around. And I went over there, and me and the DCAT, we walked up and we talked to him. We said, hey, we want to come here and shake your hand and tell you that it was Christians that was praying for you, and that's why you got out of there. And the only reason them folks came home, friends, is because people begin to have vigils and prayer meetings. And you know what happened? When we were in the United States praying, I believe as the more people, the more recruits that God got into his spiritual boot camp to pray, I believe God began to build up the pavilion. I believe the pavilion got bigger and higher and taller and higher and taller, and no weapon formed against them prospered simply because the people of God were touching God for those people. I just really believe that. And I believe every one of the former hostages need to thank God that some of them that still got a sound mind after that whole ordeal they went through. You know, we're living in an age where people take prayer lightly. The city of Atlanta, Georgia, is in the biggest crisis it's ever been in. 28 young men have been slaughtered, killed, butchered in a very unnatural fashion, just like Romans chapter said. People who will give up the natural affections to crazy, catering to the lust of their flesh and just unnatural affection. The last year and a half, 28 young boys have been killed. Black boys have been killed. And you know, there's only one remedy to that, my friend. I believe if the city of Atlanta, Georgia would begin to take authority over that thing and they begin to start, call a whole citywide prayer meeting. Get the 10 biggest auditoriums in Atlanta, Georgia, and fill them up and start praying in the spirit and start getting a hold of God. I believe God will show somebody in the spirit who is the people and the parties responsible for that, because the minute people begin to pray, the pavilion will begin to rise and it will protect every person in that area. God said he'll build a pavilion around you. He will protect you. He's your shelter in time of storm. And he says after the pavilion is built, you see, I'm not saying that we isolate ourselves from the world. I'm simply saying we are protected, friend. We are so much forgetting the protection of God. We're letting it slip out, man. Slip out. We're protected. I have to give you an illustration about a man in the Bible who was very protected. God kept this man. Out of all the disciples in the Bible, every disciple was martyred, with the exception of one, John the Beloved. And they try to kill him. They try to boil him in oil and he wouldn't die. They couldn't cook his goose. So they said, we'll put him out on the Isle of Patmos. He'll be alone. He won't have a friend in the world. He'll die of fellowship. Wasn't too long. He had 144,000 singing with him. Later on, the Bible said he had a number that no man could number. Why? That pavilion got higher and higher and higher and higher, and the shelter and the protection and the shield. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, that's enough to make a Catholic shout. Come on, say amen. Brother, I tell you what, you don't realize how great this thing is. And John the Beloved got out there, and he began to see some things. And if it had not been for John the Beloved, you would not know nothing about a rapture, because God revealed it to John when he was in the Spirit. Read Revelation chapter 4. And John said, "And on the Lord's day I was in the Spirit, and I heard a great trumpet talking to me. And the trumpet told me, come up hither." Glory to God. And that is the rapture. I call it the invasion of the body snatchers. Brother, he's going to come back and snatch bodies out of this place, and we're split and we're cutting out of here. You say, "Brother Torres, I heard the other day on radio and television we's going to go tribulation period." Well, go ahead. Go. If you want to. I'm checking out. I don't care if he's got the biggest Christian talk show in the United States of America. Brother, we're going out of this place when the trumpet sounds. We ain't going through no tribulation period. Brother, I tell you what, we've got people that are so, you know what that produces in Christian? It produces fear. Anything that produces fear, it's not from God, and you can put that down in your Bible. Brother, he is a protector. He is a shield. He is a pavilion. He is a king. He is a deliverer. He is the great I am. Say praise the Lord if you believe that. Let me give you another protection. Another man got protected. Then we're going to close it up. Oh, but this is so thrilling. I mean, it was so thrilling when it came to me that I know it'll delight you too. Here's a man that a lot of people thought, oh, wasn't. I don't call that protection. How many of you remember Stephen? He was standing there preaching the gospel, and his spirit left. You said, "But I thought they stoned him." His spirit left. The people were hurling the stones. They could not resist the spirit. They could not resist in the manner he was speaking in. And God took that deacon home. But you know what? The whole time, people stood by there. If you read the Bible, even Paul the Apostle stood there, and he knew better. He knew the law, but he had not found the grace yet. See, he knew the law of the Bible, but he had not found the grace yet. And he stood there. He didn't pick up one stone, but he consented to it, because he stood there, and by him standing there, he approved the stoning of Stephen. But you know what God did? While they started hurling the stones, God said, "Well, just Stephen, we'll just hack it. We'll just call it quits. Let's just take you up to glory." Huh? And I believe when Stephen got there, he didn't have one knot on his head and one bruise on his body. Amen? When God takes you out, he takes you out in class. And you go when your full years are, you've come to me. Listen, a lot of people think that God may come to you and snatch you out of the problem. But I want you to notice in the book of Daniel, the three Hebrew children were not delivered from the fire. They were delivered while they were in the fire. You say, "Well, how can that be?" Well, just read the Bible. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, and God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able." God is not going to let you go through anything you can't go through. And sometimes you may go through something, you wonder, how come there's no deliverance? There's some folks have gotten sick and they've believed in divine healing. Why did I get sick? How come did I have to stay in bed 36 hours, 3 days? Why did it happen? How come I couldn't get well? Well, friend, you could have stayed there a whole month if you'd have kept your mouth shut. But you know what you did for 30? You prayed, "God, get this thing off my body." And the more you prayed, it finally come. I don't understand how come it don't come right away for some folks. But thank God it does come, the healing. Amen? And I don't understand how come the three Hebrew children, God didn't just build a big block and say, "You can't get these." I don't know how come they had to go through the fire. But I know they went through some of it. But thank God they didn't get burned. Amen. Do you see that? They didn't get burned. Why? Because God was their pavilion. And while they were sitting there, while they was just in there, I don't believe they was in there, Pastor, just going, "Oh, we're just stuck in this old thing. Man, we just don't know what to do. I get so tired of Christians that way. Oh, Brother Walker, the devil's been knocking at my door. Silly, don't answer it. I just don't know. I'm up against the wall. Good. Can't go back anymore. Now you got to go forward and knock the devil down where he belongs. We forget that the devil is really dumb. The Bible said Jesus bruised his head. That's why he acts dumb half the time. Jesus stepped on his head in Genesis chapter 3. So much protection and so much bondage that we live in. So much fear we live in. Oh, fear, 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 fear. Fear of things, fear of people, fear of man, fear. I'll tell you what, it is a fear-bound world, but thank God we got a faith-bound God and a faith-bound faith. And a faith-bound experience. Say praise the Lord if you believe that. I don't understand how come some people are not healed right away. But I do know if we are consistent, healing will come. Healing will come. And the more that you pray, the higher your pavilion gets. And the bigger your shelter. And the greater your faith. You see, I got a little sign in my office. It says, feed your faith and starve your doubts. Let me give you a little statement here. Now you can take it down, do whatever you want with it. Throw it out the window, fine. Meditation on the word will produce faith in the same respect that meditation on the world will produce fear. And here's something else you may want to consider. Faith activates God in the same respect that fear activates the devil. Hello? Now, does that make sense to you? Fear brings the devil on the scene. And faith brings God on the scene. And if you don't believe that, read Hebrews. The Bible said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. In other words, you cannot have God smiling at you unless you've got faith. You said you've got to have it. There's just no way around it. And the more that you've got, and the more that you produce, and the more that you build that, and the more that you work with that, the higher the pavilion gets, the bigger the protection gets. I'll tell you how. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I was only saved 3 months, and I learned how to build my faith, and I got enough faith that I believe God that if I would go to the court, to the officials, I was facing 15 years in the penitentiary. I was shooting $100 worth of drugs into my veins. $3,000 a month. When my veins collapsed on both my arms, I began to shoot drugs in the veins of my legs. I stole 250 cars in 5 years. And so I had 7 indictments against me. They wanted to put me away. I had got so good at stealing, I could steal a radio and leave the music behind. And when I went to court, God gave me enough faith to walk in that courtroom and stand before the judge and present my case without no attorney. No physical attorney. The only attorney was there. It was just me and Jesus and the director of Teen Challenge. We all went in there, but we were one thing. We were full of faith. And you know what they did after they heard my case? They took all 7 indictments and they dropped all 7 indictments against me and acquitted me. You know why God responded to that? Because I had built a pavilion, I had built a shelter, and my faith was high enough to believe that. My son, I close with this, my son was sick when he was born. He was born premature and he had a sickness. He always had ear infections, constant ear infections. They wanted to put tubes in his ears and all that. We did not submit to that because we believed that our money could go into something more than into something that we felt like, you know, it was useless, because every time, a majority of those things that happened, they put tubes in kids' ears, they have to do it 3 or 4 times, because it's just an artificial technique where if you might as well, you want to be literal about it, let God do it and he'll do it right the first time. Amen? Now, there was a time, friend, now you listen to me. Some of you are looking at me like a dog looking at a new pan. You don't know whether to eat out of this thing or not. That's Arkansas talk. But there was a time that Pentecostal people and Christian people believe what I'm talking about. But you know what? We believe in Blue Cross and Blue Shield now more than we do in God. There was a time when we believed in this thing so strong. And I wasn't living in those times. I'm not all that old. I've only been saved going on 11 years. But there was a time people would not submit to using the Lord's money in those areas, in that particular area. But you know, I decided for a while we spend money. Matter of fact, we was in Tucson, Arizona, one time, and we was in Tucson. I remember we had my boy in twice in doctor's office, twice, and Arizona's supposed to be a good place to come when you're all stopped up. And the thing was just attacking him, and it's attacking us. And we finally took authority over that thing. And God instructed me to take all of his antihistamines, all his medication, and we threw them away. And we began, and we called up the doctor in the hospital. We asked what an operation of sticking tubes in his ears and all that going through procedure was. They told us, and we took that amount of money and put it into a ministry. And when we did that, and our faith was high enough to believe for that, then the healing began to come. But you know something? We saw it coming, and we knew God confirmed it. But you know, it didn't all happen right away. It took almost a whole year before we actually saw the full healing. But he was being healed the whole time. He was being healed the whole time. Why? The pavilion was getting higher and higher and higher, and the shelter bigger and bigger and bigger, and our faith stronger and stronger. Do you understand what I'm saying? Father, thank you for your word. Hallelujah. Thank you for the spirit that your word has been brought with today. Father, we don't understand a lot of things of this world. We just don't know why some things happen. We do know, Heavenly Father, that you are our protector. You're our pavilion. You're our shelter. You're our redeemer from the curse of the law and sickness and poverty. Father, we thank you that our desire is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life and behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple of his praises. Father, I thank you that you're the rock that men can run to when they're trying to give up tobacco habits, smoking habits, when they're bound by alcoholism. You're the rock they can run to, Heavenly Father. When teenagers are thinking about suicide and can't seem to get it together and are having a difficult time with peer pressure, Father, you're the pavilion they can go to. Glory to God. You're the great I am. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, take every word that I have said from the preaching of your gospel and let it fall on good ground. I'll give you the praise and I'll give you the honor and I'll give you the glory in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Everybody stand to your feet, please. Your heads are bowed, please, and your eyes are closed and no one's looking around. I would like to ask you a question. How many of you in this building within the sound of my voice say, Brother Torres, if Jesus comes back to take us home in the rapture, if Jesus were to come in the next 60 seconds, I know without a shadow of a doubt that I am ready to meet the Lord. Not a doubt in my mind. I want you to hold your right hand up. Don't raise it up out of habit just because people, you're used to doing it when the preacher says it. Only if you're sure. Lewis, there's nothing between me and God. I know that I'm ready. He's my pavilion. He's my shelter. He's my Lord. Hold your right hand up. If you're not sure, please do not raise your hand. You may put your hands down. How many say, Mr. Torres, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to be phony about it. I could not raise my hand because I'm not sure. There's something there. I really got to get it together. Please pray for me. I could not hold my hand up the first time. Would you please hold your hand up now? Lewis, I could not raise my hand up. Come on, quickly. Don't be embarrassed. Hold it up. I'm not going to embarrass you or single you up. Please hold your hand up. Hold it up high where I can see it. Now, there are several of you. You need to hold your hand up because I want to pray for you. I'm not going to single you out. I'm just not going to embarrass you. Just hold your hand up. Say, Mr. Torres, please pray for me. I really got to get it together. Yes, 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 yes. Okay. See? Now, come on. Now, there's some more of you still holding out on God, playing hard to get. Come on. Slip it up. Say, Lewis, I really got some things to get together. Please. I'm not ready. Hold your hand up. Then put it back down. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you, madam. God bless you, young man. You may put your hand down. Anybody else? Yes, young lady. Anybody else, quickly? Okay, we've got about 11 people here. I'm going to ask you right where you stand. I want you to say this prayer with me. And then when you get through, I want you to come up to this. When we dismiss, I want you to find a card in front of you. There should be cards like this in the pews. Is there cards? Oh, I want you to, we'll want to have some cards up here on the communion table. I want you to come down here after we get through, when the service is dismissed, and I want you to fill out a card. You know what you're doing when you fill this card out? You're saying, I got it together. I made Jesus Lord of my life, because we're going to pray, and you're going to be able to, the next time another preacher says in the service, says, are you ready to go to heaven? You're going to be able to raise your hand and say yes, without being a phony about it. Because we're going to pray right now. Every one of you, 11 of you that raised your hand and said, Lewis, I wasn't ready. You're going to get ready right now. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you right where you stand, I want you to say this prayer. Repeat it right after me, word for word. Would you do it? Heavenly Father, I ask you in Jesus' name that on this day, June the 14th, I invite you into my heart and into my life. Come on, I want you to say it out loud where I can at least hear it, okay? And Jesus, please give me the power to live the way you want me to. I surrender 100%. And I ask you to guide my steps, to build a pavilion around me and a shelter. Forgive me of my sins and of my failure. I confess every sin and I put it under the blood. In Jesus' name, I receive you, Lord, in my life and heart. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And I want everybody in the building, regardless of your denomination, lift your hands and praise the Lord for these that said yes to Jesus. And you that said yes to the Lord, you might want to raise your right hand up and say, thank you, Lord, that you heard my prayer and that today I have become a Christian. I've made a public commitment and now I know that I'm ready to be with you. Come on, just hold your right hand up and just thank him. Now I'm sure, Lord, that when the trumpet sounds, I'm leaving this place. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. With every hand raised, let's sing it one more time now. Oh, he is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he's my Lord. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise God, praise God. Why don't we just praise him before we dismiss? Just raise your hands and let's just thank him. Thank you, Father, for this service. Thank you for the anointing of God. Thank you for the providence of your spirit, for the presence of it, for the power of it. Glory to the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that every person that raised their hand and said, Mr. Torres, I wasn't sure about making it to heaven, but now that I've prayed with you, I'm sure. God, let them take 1 minute, just 1 minute, and come pick up a card and fill it out. And by that, they're not going to be hassled. They're just simply acknowledging I've made a commitment to Jesus, and I want to do my best to keep living for him and studying his word and going to a church that believes in the Lord and believes in the fullness of the Bible. Father, let them put their name here and acknowledge it before heaven before you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you for it. Amen and amen. How many of you are glad you came today? Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what. You that raised your hand and said, Lewis, I prayed with you. Before you leave, it would do you good to just take about 30 seconds, a minute, come down and get a card, put your name on it, put your address on it. I made a commitment to Jesus. I want to live for him. I wasn't ready, but now I am, I'm sure. I know. Yes, I know, the song said, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know. Amen. We want you to do that. We thank you for waiting with us. How many of you enjoy the service? I enjoy the service. I'll tell you what. My wife will be back there in a minute to help you with records of tapes if you want any of our ministry. If you'd like to secure this pack of tapes, four of my most requested messages, do so. The music is back there. It'll be a blessing to you. But don't forget, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Wampler. He's going to come and dismiss you and make any announcements that has to be made. And I want you that came forward, I want you to come down here and pick up a card and sign it. I want to shake.